Royalty in Ruin, Chapter 41, Three Hebrews in the Fiery Furnace. God had given Nebuchadnezzar the dream of the great image, so that he would understand the relationship that his kingdom would have to the kingdom of heaven. The dream's interpretation had given him clear instruction regarding the establishment of God's everlasting kingdom. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom. It shall consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. The king had acknowledged God, saying to Daniel, "Truly your God is the God of gods, and a revealer of secrets." Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. For a time the fear of God influenced Nebuchadnezzar, but his heart was not yet cleansed from a desire to exalt himself. Filled with pride, in time he returned to his idol worship with increased zeal. The words, "You are this head of gold," had made a deep impression on the ruler's mind. Taking advantage of this, the wise men of his realm proposed that he make an image similar to the one in his dream and set it up where all could see and admire the head of gold, interpreted as representing his kingdom. Pleased, he determined to go even farther. His image would not deteriorate in value from the head to the feet, but be entirely of gold, symbolic of Babylon as an indestructible, all-powerful kingdom. Establishing a dynasty that would endure forever appealed strongly to the ruler before whose weapons the nations of the earth had been unable to stand. Forgetting the remarkable acts of God connected with the dream of the great image, and that in connection with the interpretation, the great men of the realm had been spared a dreadful and shameful death. The king and his counselors determined that they would work to exalt Babylon as supreme. Daniel's interpretation was to be rejected and forgotten. Truth was to be misapplied. The symbol God had designed to reveal important events of the future was to be used to conceal the very knowledge God wanted the world to receive. Satan knew that truth unmixed with error is a power mighty to save, but when used to exalt self, it becomes a power for evil. The golden image, the eternal glory of Babylon. From his rich treasure, Nebuchadnezzar made a great golden image, similar to what he had seen in vision, except in one particular, the material of which it was composed. The Chaldeans had never before produced anything so impressive as this splendid statue. It is not surprising that in a land where idol worship prevailed everywhere, the priceless image on the plain of Dura would be consecrated as an object of worship. A decree went out that on the day of the dedication, all should show their supreme loyalty to Babylon by bowing before the image. A vast crowd from all peoples, nations, and languages assembled. When the music played, the whole company fell down and worshipped the gold image. The powers of darkness seemed to be gaining a victory, permanently connecting the worship of the golden image with the established forms of idolatry recognized as the state religion. Satan hoped in this way to defeat God's purpose of making Israel and Babylon a means of blessing to all nations. But God decreed otherwise. Not all had bowed to the idolatrous symbol of human power. Three men firmly resolved not to dishonor the God of heaven. Their God was King of Kings. They would bow to no other. Certain wise men, jealous of the faithful companions of Daniel, brought word to Nebuchadnezzar that some had dared to disobey this mandate. "There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." The king tries to pressure the Hebrews. The king commanded that the men be brought before him, pointing to the fiery furnace. He reminded them of the punishment awaiting them if they persisted in their refusal to obey his will. But firmly the Hebrews testified to their allegiance to the God of heaven and their faith in his power to deliver. As the three Hebrews stood before the king, he was convinced that they possessed something the other wise men did not have. He decided to give them another chance. If only they would unite with the multitude in worshiping the image, all would be well. "But if you do not worship," he added, "you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Then, with his hand stretched upward defiantly, he demanded, "Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" The king's threats were in vain. Calmly facing the furnace, the three Hebrews said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, if this is your decision, Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Their faith strengthened as they declared that God would be glorified by delivering them. With assurance born of complete trust in God, they added, But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. The king's anger knew no bounds. Full of fury, the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, representatives of a despised captive race. Directing that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual, he commanded the mighty men of his army to bind the worshippers of Israel's God. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God in the furnace. But as the Lord's witnesses were cast into the furnace, the Savior revealed himself to them in person, and together they walked in the midst of the fire. In the presence of the Lord of heat and cold, the flames lost their power to consume. From his royal seat the king looked on, expecting to see the men who had defied him completely destroyed. But his face grew pale as he jumped up from the throne and looked intently into the glowing flames. In alarm he asked, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Look! I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. How did that heathen king know what the Son of God was like? The Hebrew captives in Babylon had represented the truth before him in their life and character. When asked for a reason for their faith, they had given it without hesitation, teaching those around them of the God whom they worshipped. They had told of Christ, the Redeemer, to come. And in the form of the 4th, in the midst of the fire, the king recognized the Son of God. Forgetting his greatness and dignity, Nebuchadnezzar cried out, Servants of the Most High God, come out! Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out before the vast multitude, showing themselves unhurt. The presence of their Savior had guarded them from harm, and only the ropes that bound them had been burned. The great image, set up with such pomp, was forgotten. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the humbled king acknowledged, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God. There is no other god who can deliver like this. The king of Babylon set about to spread before all the peoples of the earth his conviction that the God of the Hebrews was worthy of supreme adoration. And God was pleased with the effort of the king to make the royal confession as widespread as was the Babylonian realm. By delivering his faithful servants, the Lord declared that he takes his stand with the oppressed and rebukes all earthly powers that rebel against the authority of heaven. In the hour of their great test, the 3 Hebrews remembered the promise, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. The news of their amazing deliverance was carried to many countries by representatives of the nations that Nebuchadnezzar had invited to the dedication. A time of trouble such as never was. The lessons to be learned from the experience on the plain of Dura are important. In our day, many of God's servants will suffer humiliation and abuse at the hands of those who are filled with envy and religious bigotry. Especially will they become angry with those who keep holy the Sabbath of the 4th commandment. And finally, a universal decree will denounce them as deserving death. God's people must make it clear that nothing can persuade them to make the least concession to false worship. To the loyal heart, mere human commands will sink into insignificance beside the word of the eternal God. They will obey truth, even if the result be death. The Lord will work mightily in behalf of those who stand for the right. He who walked with the Hebrews in the fiery furnace will be with his followers wherever they are. In the time of trouble, his chosen ones will stand unmoved. Jehovah will reveal himself in their behalf as a God of gods, able to save completely those who put their trust in him.